Hello and welcome to CT Vets Connect, the official podcast of the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm your host, Brian Scott Smith, and coming up in this first episode, we get an overview of the four core missions of the agency and find out about Wreaths Across America and how you and your family and friends can help connect with a veteran this December 16th. But first, the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs is a large and complex agency offering many services and resources to veterans, and it's often hard to know what is available and how to navigate the system. I sat down with the new commissioner of the agency, Ron Welch, to get a better understanding. Commissioner Welch, welcome to the very first CT Vets Connect podcast and welcoming us to headquarters, as it were, here at Rocky Hill. I hope you're excited for this very first official podcast for the agency.
So, Brian, thank you very much. It's so good to see you again. And yes, we're happy to kick this off today. And we're going to start with just a basic overview of the programs and services available through Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs.
Just before we get to that, and that's, I believe you call it your four core missions, let's have a little bit of a potted history, because not everybody probably knows the history of how this became known as the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs. So tell us that story, because it's a nice story.
Sure, it's a remarkable story. And we're really proud to say that we're the nation's first and longest operating state veteran home and hospital. During the Civil War, a young soldier named Benjamin Fitch experienced horrors of everything during the Civil War and realized there would be a real need for care. So when he returned home, he founded the Fitch Home for Soldiers, Widows, and Orphans in Darien, Connecticut. The grand opening was on the 4th of July, 1864. The state of Connecticut realized, the General Assembly, how important this was to have programs and facilities to take care of our veterans and their families, that in 1935, they started a groundbreaking ceremony up here in Rocky Hill, where we are today, to establish that complete home and hospital to provide those services and expanded services on approximately 100 acres of property. So the facility took about 5 years to build, and that ribbon was cut in 1940, prior to World War II.
And of course, it's grown from strength to strength ever since then. And as I say, today, we're going to talk about four of the core missions of the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs. Residential services, housing, all that type of stuff, so important for veterans. Talk to us a little bit, you know, about that, because again, we're only going to be able to scratch the surface on some of these topics. And obviously, we'll be delving deeper in other podcasts on there. And it gives people an idea, you know, veterans and their families, an idea of what is available out there.
Sure. So the whole intent behind the residential housing is to provide a transitional program offering housing, employment, education, support, a social network, and other supportive and recovery services to get that veteran or family that's really struggling to a better place, to a more stable place. So on our campus, we have some very large dorm-type facilities, two-person dorm rooms. We can accommodate approximately 170 individual veterans. And then we have a location across the street from the main campus called Patriot Landing, which has 5 3-bedroom houses. They're beautiful little houses. The intent there is a little bit shorter term. Normally, it's about a year that can be extended out to 2 years. They do pay a minimal fee to stay there. In addition to that, in 2018, we signed a lease with an organization called Veterans Rally Point. This is an extension of their program, and there are 6 houses on John Levito Lane on the main campus here, and they are providing temporary housing 4 to 6 months for approximately 12 veterans. In that particular case, some of those services are available and theirs is rent-free.
Which is amazing, and also, I'm sure, is such a godsend, obviously, to veterans who are in crisis, who just need that little bit of help for a few months, just knowing that it's actually there. So again, it's one of those services which maybe a lot of veterans may not know about.
It really is a game changer. And the good news is, during this last legislative session, Public Act 23207 was passed, providing an additional $5 million to Department of Veterans Affairs to convert and rehabilitate some of the aging housing we have. So realizing that the infrastructure now is about 80 years old on the campus, it's time to rehabilitate some of these facilities. That would provide housing for approximately 46 additional people that are out there, veterans and family members.
It's a lot of work, a lot of money, but again, you know, money well spent on the men and women veterans of Connecticut. I'm sure you've spoken to them in the past. When they get this housing, even if it is for a short period of time, I mean, what sort of feedback do they give? I mean, they must be so grateful to have somewhere secure, you know, just to let them get their lives back on track.
Exactly, because if they weren't here, where would they be? They would be homeless, maybe staying with a friend or maybe a family member or out on the street. So yes, providing, you know, quality facilities and programs and services is really important. One success story, we recently talked with a young man during one of our celebrations we had for the Hispanic culture, and this young man had recently graduated from Wesleyan. So this provided a really good temporary bridge for him to get his feet back on the ground, get his education done, and now he's searching for employment.
That's a nice little segue into what we're going to talk about next, which is health and mental health care as well when it comes to veterans, both very, very important aspects and something that veterans do suffer from, whether it might be PTSD from slight war situations or just mental health generally. I mean, you know, society is going through that period of post-pandemic. Talk to us a little bit about the healthcare center and the healthcare that is actually available as well to the veterans.
So we're very fortunate to have the Sergeant John Leviteau Skilled Healthcare Center. John Leviteau was a Medal of Honor winner. He received the Medal of Honor during his service in Vietnam in the Air Force. Remarkable individual with roots from Connecticut. So the skilled care facility is named after him. It's a fully certified CMS, Medicare services. VA provides oversight along with Connecticut Department of Public Health. The facility has been around for a long time. We had a primary hospital. The mission shifted to providing skilled care, long-term care. This facility now was built in 2008. Highly rated, very good care available. And all the services you talked about, memory care, occupational therapy, physical therapy, all the rehabilitative service and staff are embedded in that facility. So we are very grateful to have that. You hit on behavioral health. It's extremely important. Whether they're over there in the skilled care facility or up in the residential program itself, those services are available with trained, licensed clinical social workers.
And of course, this facility is in addition to the VA hospitals and facilities which are dotted around the state of Connecticut as well.
Very good point. Glad you brought that up. Not to confuse with the federal VA. So the federal VA has their hospital in West Haven, and they have another hospital in Newington that has a lot of specialty clinics in it. We are partnered very closely with the federal VA. As a matter of fact, we are meeting the new director very soon. And there's also within communities around Connecticut, there are some community-based outpatient clinics. And very important for behavioral health, the federal VA also has vet centers around the state.
And the facility, just to be clear, that's here at Rocky Hill?
It's on the main campus.
So again, the campus is huge. And if people haven't visited, they should obviously come and visit the campus, because not only is it beautiful, it clearly has a lot of resources and facilities as well. Cemetery services, something that needs to be discussed. We don't like to talk about death, but it is an inevitability for all of us, unfortunately. The VA supplies some very good cemetery services. Talk to us about that, because again, I don't know if veterans and their families are always aware of what is available to them and how they access that as well, because it's a time that is obviously devastating for people, and to know that there is help and assistance out there to guide them through this. So talk to us, if you would, Commissioner, about the cemetery services.
Sure. So there are actually three cemeteries in Connecticut. One is in Darien, which is at full capacity. So we're not doing any interment services there. Right across the street is Colonel Gates Cemetery, and the intent behind that is for a resident that may pass away that is here, either in a skilled care facility or in a residential program, and there are approximately 1,300 graves over there.
And again, we're talking about Rocky Hill, just for yes. People who are listening, you know, they understand where we're talking about, so that's at Rocky Hill.
And then the large cemetery that we are extremely proud of is in Middletown. We call that the State Veterans Cemetery in Middletown. There are 16,000 veterans and eligible dependents currently buried there. We have an initiative right now to expand that cemetery, so we continue to provide services. We have about 3 years remaining availability of lots there. So we're working very closely with our Department of Administrative Services for the state of Connecticut on procuring more property in that area.
Talk to us as well about some of the services that happen there. I mean, one in particular, I know that you do this particular one once a year towards the end of the year, and it's the unclaimed cremains ceremony. Very important. Explain what that is.
Yes. So sadly, each year there are remains that are unclaimed. claimed at funeral homes. So the funeral directors of Connecticut have all got together and coordinated with our department to provide a cremated remains ceremony. And we're doing that each year, and we'll make sure that they are laid to rest properly. Those are our brothers and sisters. If no other family is available to take care of them or claim their remains, then we will do the right thing and do that dignified service.
How important is that to not only you as the commissioner of this agency, but, you know, for people out there as well?
It's essential. You know, you hear very often, we never leave a soldier or service member behind. So for us, it's very sad to realize that these cremains are around the state. So we want to make sure that they are provided with that dignified closure.
And the ceremony, I believe, is quite something to see as well, isn't it? I mean, it is a proper full sort of like military ceremony. Talk to us, because I know that you go to these, you speak at them. So just talk us through these a little bit, because again, I think it's important for people to understand the dignity and the honor that is put into these things.
Sure. Municipal and state police will provide an escort. Everybody will assemble here on the campus. The hearse will arrive with the cremains, and we will have a procession that goes from here to the Middletown State Veterans Cemetery, and I will preside over it and make the appropriate remarks, and then full military honors will be rendered. So volleys will be fired, taps will be played, flags will be folded, and they will be interned appropriately.
That's an amazing thing, as I say, for people to have, but as I say, also for the families to know that that is available. Of course, as we said all along, it's a big department. There's a lot of services, a lot of resources. So the purpose of this podcast, you know, over the coming months is to explain those to people and, you know, just keep drip feeding it so it's in people's minds so they know where to get that help and assistance. You have the Office of Advocacy and Assistance, which is a very important office. I mean, all of your services and resources are important, but this is probably one of your key, I would have thought, departments. Talk us through what it is that they can do and what they exist for.
It absolutely is kind of the foundation of what we're all about. So when we talk about the veteran population in Connecticut, it exceeds 170,000. But in addition to that, we also are available to assist active military, you know, the submarine base in Groton and the Coast Guard Academy and Coast Guard families in the eastern part of the state, as well as down towards New Haven. And then we have the National Guard that has 5,000 service members in it, and all the other services have reserve components. They, along with their families, are all potentially eligible or have requests for information from us. Where everything really starts is at the local level. And the state statute says we're supposed to have a municipal vet representative in all 169 towns in Connecticut. So we're going to push hard to make sure that happens. Right now, we have about 117 that are trained to provide assistance. So it starts really at the local level, and then in our districts around Connecticut. We have 5 district offices. We have 1 in Norwich, Newington, Waterbury, Milford, and Fairfield. Those veteran service officers that are certified are really important, and they responded this past year to 32,000 requests for assistance from that veteran population I talked about. They legally represented 7,600 veterans across the state, and that provided $109,000+ in annual disability, pension, and other benefits paid to Connecticut veterans.
I understand that sort of the core mission for them is to be that sort of like that interlink between the veteran and the federal VA to help them, again, you know, not disrespecting the federal VA, big, it's like agency. So, you know, they know it probably better than anyone else, and again, can help the veteran and guide them through if they need a particular service. Would that be correct?
You're absolutely correct. They advocate, they sit down with that veteran or family member, dependent, that's eligible for benefits, and they gather information and evidence to support a claim if they were injured or had a significant illness during their military service.
Talk to us as well about the CT Wartime Service Medal and Registry as well, because that's another thing which falls under this Office of Advocacy.
So those that served during a period of wartime service are eligible. There's a registry that's established, and a little certificate is prepared, and we have ceremonies around the state periodically to do those awards. In addition to that, we have been very active with the governor and lieutenant governor's office around the state of Connecticut, acknowledging currently Korean veterans and Vietnam veterans for their service. Vietnam veterans, the lieutenant governor will present a certificate, she'll make remarks, she'll let us make remarks, and she'll present a certificate certificate acknowledging their service, and we also present a lapel pin. To date, since I started on the 2nd of June, last night I believe was about the 21st event that I've participated in. And those events are anywhere from a small gathering of maybe 20 veterans being recognized all the way up to Middletown. We're going back, for example, for the second phase. We had the first phase with about 35 veterans. We're going back and we'll have approximately 35 or 40 more veterans will recognize. The good news is families and friends are invited to the ceremonies. They're done extremely well.
I just want to pick up, we've sort of covered off, as I say, a broad overview on the four core missions. And as I say, in future podcasts, we'll delve deeper into those things and speak to more of your staff, you know, who are connected to these particular core missions. But as you've just said, you know, you became the commissioner June of 2023. It's an incredibly busy job that you have. Talk to us a little bit about how it's gone for you since you started, because you yourself are a veteran, an Army veteran. You also worked for Easter Seals before this as well. Your heart and soul is poured into this and always has been, obviously, ever since you stepped away from the military. How are you feeling as the new commissioner at this point with what you've been able to do and what you're looking forward to doing?
You know, it was a surprise and a real absolute honor to be asked and appointed on the 9th of May by Governor Lamont to serve in this capacity. I look at it as kind of an extension of the service that I did previously. So the military was just under 40 years. And then I was able to work at Veterans Rally Point and Easter Seals for another close to 5 years. So to be able to take that 45 years of exposure from a private to a general officer and know what these veterans have experienced over time, whether they've been in war or peacetime, cold and wet and all those different environments, and some of the issues and the core issues continue to be not in this order, but behavioral health is always a big one. The homeless part of it, you hit on financial issues, relationship issues. And sometimes it's everything at once that happens to them. So to be able to in some way provide assistance is extremely rewarding. It is a very big job. Can't underestimate what's going on with any one of these veterans at any time or their families. So we have a great team here at Rocky Hill and out in those district offices, along with those 117 municipal vet representatives and our partners, the federal VA and nonprofits that are in the area and all these other, you know, American Legions and VFWs. And there's a group out there, Hike to Remember, over in Glastonbury, Marine Corps detachment over there, and Irreverent Warriors that attract a lot of young veterans. So to be able to connect with all of them. The other thing I like to try to do is whenever I can participate in events. I had the pleasure of being out with Skydive for Vets last month and being able to talk to them and participate in some of those events and some of the foot marches and really talk to the service members to better gauge what's going on out there.
I'm just going to put you on the spot just for a final second then. What do they say to you? Because it's not often, doesn't matter which organization you work for, you don't always get to speak to the top dog and, you know, maybe vent at them as well.
It is good for them. A lot of times it's Connecticut is a very wealthy state. Connecticut has tremendous social support services available. A lot of times it's just misinformation. They just don't know what's available. So to be able to connect with them and share with them, this is where you need to go. This is who you need to talk to, I think is very important. And yes, anybody can talk to me. I'm very approachable. And aside from the rank and the position I'm in, I'll talk to anybody that served or in support of the military about any one of these issues and try to provide assistance.
Well, Commissioner Ron Welch, Commissioner of the Department of Veterans Affairs of the State of Connecticut, thank you for your time. Thank you for guiding us through, as I say, a quick look at the four core missions. We'll be talking to you in future podcasts, but for the time being, thank you.
Great, Brian. Thank you very much.
There are many ways to support veterans in the nation, and now in its 16th year, Wreaths Across America continues to honor, remember, and teach the nation about our veterans. I sat down with John Carragher, manager of the Office of Advocacy and Assistance at CT Veterans Affairs, and Sherry Vogt, member of their Board of Trustees, to find out more about Wreaths Across America here in Connecticut. to you both. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So we are talking about Wreaths Across America coming up very soon. In fact, the date for it is December 16th, but there's a cutoff date of November 28th when wreaths have to be purchased. We're going to talk to you, Sherry, in a moment about that. But John, I want to turn to you first. Just talk to us a little bit about what is Wreaths Across America.
Sure. So Wreaths Across America is a program that allows cemeteries around the country to place a wreath over the holiday season on each veteran's grave that so desires one. It's a great opportunity for the general public to really connect with our military and connect with our veterans and show them the honor that they deserve for their service and their sacrifice.
And this happens where in Connecticut?
There's multiple cemeteries around the state of Connecticut that participate in the program. With the state of Connecticut, our cemetery in Middletown is the only currently active veterans-only cemetery, but there are numerous cemeteries around the state that participate in the program.
And there's a sort of like a mission, isn't there, of Wreaths Across America? Honor, remember, teach. Talk to us about that.
So like I said, you know, the ability to honor that veteran's service and sacrifice and the service and sacrifice of his or her family is first and foremost in the Wreaths mission. We want to be able to have a visible reminder of that service and sacrifice. And then remembering is just what it says. We never want to forget what all of those folks have done for us so that we can continue to live and enjoy the freedoms of our country. And finally, teach. Sometimes our military and our veteran population has become very centralized in relatively small areas, especially our active force. So we want to make sure that especially our young people understand the sacrifice that those that came before us make to protect the freedoms that we enjoy, as well as the sacrifice that our currently serving members are going through.
And also, of course, because sadly, you know, stories and people get forgotten as well over time. And obviously, you know, wars fade into memories. World War One, World War Two become very distant memories. But of course, they are important things for us to continue to remember at whatever time in our lives and whoever we are, whether we're military or we are civilians, like you said, because of the freedoms that we are all able to enjoy because of the sacrifice given by those men and women previously and today, because of course, we will continue to make veterans. Every current member of the service now will go on to become a veteran in the future. So we want to be able to remember everybody, don't we?
Absolutely. And one of the things that always strikes me on that day that we're placing wreaths is the opportunity to just see, you know, the average citizen and especially a young person bring that wreath up to that headstone and take a look at the headstone and establish that connection with that veteran and his or her family and say their name out loud and then understand what they did and why they did it and hopefully instill a little bit of a spirit of patriotism and community service to that person, but really establish a connection and a personal connection with that individual veteran that we're laying that wreath on, because it's more than just decoration. It looks nice and takes great pictures, but the meaning behind it is what we want to make sure that we get across.
Sherry, let's turn to you. Have the unenviable task of getting these wreaths sort of purchased and then put out actually on the day with an army of volunteers. What is it that you need listeners to do? Because it's a big task, short amount of time left in which to do it, but it's very important.
Oh, thank you so much for that question. Across Connecticut would like our families and those that love veterans. I mean, it's a very patriotic state. We're so fortunate to have participated since the birth of our nation, right? So if they could find it to purchase a wreath, and the lingo that they use on the Wreaths Across America website is sponsor a wreath, because you're not really buying a decoration. You are sponsoring the event where we are saying their name and remembering their service. So wreaths this year are $17, gone up a little bit since previous years. And here at the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs, our Board of Trustees site, actually, if you buy one wreath, you're actually buying one and a half. And that number is calibrated in the background. So if you buy two wreaths, there's one that is additionally thrown in. So it's buy two, get a third for the cemetery. And so how can you do that? Well, this day and age, we've made it pretty easy. I still carry two checkbooks with me every day. So you can write a check. That would be lovely. It is made out to Wreaths Across America in the memo to make sure that it doesn't go to one of the other 4,000 cemeteries participating. Please make sure that it says CT 1-6-4. And how do I remember that? Well, the Beatles song, you know, when I was 64. So it's Connecticut 0-1-6-4 is the actual group that will be sponsoring the wreaths. In fact, not the only group that's doing it. We are so fortunate to have the Daughters of the American Revolution. We have American Legion Post 20, Middletown Fire Department was reporting they'd sold quite a few. And so although our goal is 13,000 wreaths for one for every marker in our Veterans Cemetery here in Connecticut, it's pretty easy. There's a QR code on the flyer. We have a Facebook page. So it's Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs, Board of Trustees. I'm putting something out every couple days. And so we'd encourage you to find the QR code. You can go to the wreathsacrossamerica.org website. And if you're not careful, it'll take you to where you can buy a wreath for another location. So again, in the search engine box, if you'd put wreathsacrossamerica.org/CT0164, then that will go straight to this initiative and it will be used here in Connecticut at our Veterans Cemetery.
So like we said, lots of information there. Thank you for sharing that with us. But it's easy ways, basically, to get hold of your wreath. And obviously, if you do have those finances and you can actually buy two, then you'll actually be getting three, which would be superb because that helps to increase those numbers. And like we said, the dates are moving up quickly on us. So people must buy these by November 28th, correct?
So November 28th is exactly the cutoff. And that means that Wreaths Across America in Maine, in a tiny, cute little post office that doesn't deliver mail every day, is going to be inundated with a lot of mail. So you can definitely send a check here to Rocky Hill. You can call me. May I give my phone number?
Absolutely. Let's give the address as well, because the address here at Rocky Hill is 287 West Street, Rocky Hill, Connecticut 06067. And I guess that they should mark it for the attention of Wreaths of America and maybe for yourself.
Certainly. That would be wonderful.
And also your telephone number?
And my telephone number is 860-315-2666. And that's a cell phone. That's my cell phone. You can call or text me. I know we've had people reach out from last year already text me this year looking for the order form. So I can walk you through it over the phone. I can mail you an order form. I can teach you how to use the website step by step. Whatever works best for you is just a blessing for us.
Well, to you both, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for explaining to us, John, obviously Wreaths Across America, Sherry, for the incredible work that you do as well, along with, as I say, the Army of Volunteers and the Board of Trustees to make this happen. We'll reiterate that information again so that people know where to go to get these. I just want to ask both of you a final closing question each, because you are both, of course, veterans yourselves. You are Army veterans. What does it mean to you, these wreaths, Sherry?
Well, I visit our cemeteries actually quite a few times a year. And I was in Darien recently at the Connecticut Veterans Cemetery, our original one, and to look at the stones that said Spanish-American War, World War One, Civil War, it really connected me all the way back to those who raised their hand and said yes. And it's that veteran spirit of why it doesn't matter what branch and when you served, but how we are all on the same team.
You know, it's a long, unbroken line from Lexington and Concord and 1636 to today, and we have to continue to remember each and every person that has worn the cloth of our nation, and you know, whether they paid that, you know, gave that ultimate sacrifice in battle or came home and became very productive and great citizens after their service. It's important that we honor that service and that we remember that, because you know, that's really the spirit of America.
Absolutely. To you both, John and Sherry, thanks again, as I say, for telling us about Wreaths Across America, and more importantly, thank you both for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And to purchase your wreaths, visit the Department of Veterans Affairs Board of Trustees site at wreathsacrossamerica.org/CT0164. That's all from this episode of CT Vets Connect. If you need help or guidance about services and resources that might be available to you, then please contact the Connecticut Department of Veterans Affairs on their main number, 860-616-3600, or via their website at ct.gov/DVA, or through Facebook at CT Veterans Affairs. And don't forget to tell us what you think about the podcast and stories you'd like to hear on future editions of CT Vets Connect. I'm Brian Scott-Smith. Thanks for listening.